Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Thank you to all of you for coming and making this festival. There's no festival without attendees. Making so many nice arrangements. Last time I went with a group of devotees, a fairly large group of devotees to a holy place. It was in September, I think it was, to Nathdwara. September. And I suggested at that time that when we go with so many devotees to a holy place, it would be good to have a public program. So that was organized yesterday. And it was a great success. That we can judge from the number of books distributed. Srila Prabhupada said that the success of a program is judged by how many books are sold. So it's very good book distribution. 168 Maha big books, that's mostly Bhagavad Gita's, that would be. And Krishna books. Lots of Krishna books went out also? Yeah, mostly Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. And over 250 small books, over 250 BTGs, and 30, was it, medium books, something like that. So it's good sales. 168 Maha big books, that means that I would think almost all the, because maybe half the crowd or a little less was our own devotees. And then the people were coming in families mostly. So it means that almost every one of them took a Bhagavad Gita. The play was excellent. And the high point was Vasudev Datta Prabhu. Speaking, giving the message of Bhagavad Gita in Tamil. So, white elephants are very powerful creatures. Especially if they, speaking white elephants, they speak in the local language. It's very impressive to the people. Maybe more so here. I think there's quite a lot of Hindi-speaking white elephants now in Bollywood, isn't it? They come from Russia and Ukraine, and so it's not such an unusual thing to have a white elephant speaking in Hindi, but in Tamil, it's not expected and much appreciated, especially when they're speaking on the culture that that is the, of course some people would say the Shaiva culture is the culture, but as far as we are concerned, the real culture of Tamil Nadu is Vaishnava culture. So, people become very happy and impressed. And they think that, well, if these Western people are taking it so seriously, then we should too. Whatever nonsense things the Western people do, the Indians imitate. So if the Western people do something right, which means chanting Hare Krishna, then they can also imitate. But for them it's not imitation. They know how to do that, but they just forgot, that's all. Okay, so it was a great program. That was the high point of the... Yeah, white elephants are better when they speak the local language. You ever heard me tell you that before, Gokulchandra? Doing everything right, but can make it geometrically better if you can speak a local language. So, continuing yesterday, and probably this lecture will continue tomorrow also. Yeah, we're just getting into the heavy stuff here. I was talking about those who are hearing, they can actually be a disciple. They can know what the discipline is. They can understand why we are doing, what we are doing, how we should do it, all this comes from hearing. So we should all hear Srila Prabhupada by the grace of some unknown to me meat eaters. There is so much technology by which we can hear things. As Srila Prabhupada in the Nectar of Devotion noted, Srila Prabhupada was dictating the Nectar of Devotion, and he noted within his dictation, which is now part of the text of the Nectar of Devotion, that the person who invented this certainly didn't have any idea that it would be used for the purpose that Srila Prabhupada is using it for propagating Krishna consciousness. So that person, even though he had a completely different purpose in person or persons in inventing and developing the dictaphone, they also get benefit for doing so when Srila Prabhupada uses that. Srila Prabhupada purified the technology of the Western world. I heard it said, I can't give any exact reference for it. But Prabhupada was talking at a press conference in an airport and saying how modern technology is all useless. And he said, well, you came by plane, that's also modern technology. And Prabhupada said, yeah, well, when I use it, it's useful and it's meaningful. When anyone else uses it, it's a waste of time. So we have so many recordings of Srila Prabhupada's lectures, and it behooves all devotees to listen to that. Then it may be said, well, why should my disciples listen to me also? You can hear directly from Srila Prabhupada. That's true, and you should do. Of course, for Hindi and Bengali, I don't give many Bengali lectures these days, those who don't understand English, they can avail of my lectures in those languages. But the system of parampara is that guru is one. In other words, the various gurus teach the same one truth. Guru means who teaches about Krishna. So the guru is one in as much as they teach the same thing, but they teach it the same truth, but there may be some difference in presentation, some difference in the in the packaging, not in the content. According to desh kal patra, according to the time, according to the place, the time, and the recipient. And also it's not just the recipients who may be different, but of course, guru is one, but they all have their own individual personalities also. Just like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in many ways, differed in his manner of presenting Krishna consciousness than he differed to previous Gaudiya Acharyas before him. His lifestyle was quite different to that of previous Gaudiya Acharyas. Then Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj was also very different to Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the way he lived and the way he preached. He also preached. He didn't go out to preach, but if people came to him, he would speak to them. Devastating style, so that practically no one could live with him. or be his disciple. He only had one disciple because he wouldn't accept anyone unless they were practically on the same level as him. And he was Sakshat Vairagya Murti. He is the very being, the very personage of detachment. And Saraswati Thakur, Srila Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur, he was also quite different in his manner of presenting and preaching Krishna consciousness. And our own Srila Prabhupada was different to him. So, although the same message is there, but the personalities are different. So, that upholds the philosophy that, or the fact, we call it the philosophy, but actually it's a fact. And when we say philosophy, that, at least in the Western world, that's the word philosophy is usually taken to mean an elaborately developed opinion. But philosophy means to understand things as they are. And so actually philosophy and science, they're synonyms in the true sense of the term, of the terms. So the philosophy that all persons are individual and different in contradistinction to and opposition to the prevalent Kevaladvaitavad, which is said that there isn't any person anyway. Everything is all one. So in parampara, the gurus, those who are actually gurus, who are actually presenting the message of the Absolute Truth, they may have many disciples. And the various disciples, they understand that message as individuals. They may accept it in different ways and understand it in different ways. Even pure devotees, it's not that one absolute truth, Krishna, pure devotees, they all see Krishna differently. There are general categories. Dasya rasa, Sakya rasa, Vatsalya rasa, Shringara rasa. So there are various categories of devotees. But each individual devotee has their individual relationship with Krishna. And Krishna means something different to everyone. And even the same Krishna, how each individual perceives him is always different, because Krishna, he's not static. He's always new and fresh. So we can never predict Krishna, what he is doing. Chanting rounds? Yeah, but now is not the time to chant rounds. And please don't put your bead bag on the floor. Need some training. So, everyone receives the message differently. Just like we have in the Upanishads, the story of, or the narration of Indra and Virochana, the king of the Devas, the demigods, and the king of the Asuras, the demons, respectively. So they both approached Prajapati, Brahma, to learn about Atma-jnana. So Brahma told them that the Atma is the body. Okay. So they went away. Then Indra came back and said, the Atma is the body? That doesn't seem to be the complete understanding. So then Brahma taught him more. But Virochana was happy. Oh, yes, The body is the real thing. That's all in all. So they both heard the same thing. But one remained stuck at a misunderstanding. Actually, it's not untrue to say that the Atma is the body, but it's far from the complete understanding. When we talk about Atma Gyan, it's not how to pass stool and urine. It's how to stop passing stool and urine. So, like that, different disciples may hear according to their own personal predilections what they like to hear. That's why it's stated that one should approach a guru like a blank slate. Now, no one can be totally a blank slate because everyone has so many ideas and impressions from previously. But the general understanding should be that apanar hita hit kichuina jani. Sanatan Goswami approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, I don't know what is beneficial for me and what is harmful for me. I don't know. I messed up. So one should be prepared to, in the beginning, one should accept that whatever I know, that is not helping me. Whatever I know is simply leading me into various problems. Therefore, I should hear with the faith that the speaker knows tattvavit. He knows what is the actual position and can enlighten me about that. So, the various disciples of Srila Prabhupada and various disciples understand his instructions in various ways, and Srila Prabhupada gave instructions probably on a wider level of subjects than did any Vaishnava Acharya before him. Because generally Vaishnava Acharyas, they don't teach on the subject of stool and urine again. For instance, to wash your backside with your left hand after passing stool. Now, that's not Srila Prabhupada's greatest glory. He didn't come from the spiritual world to teach us that. But practically all aspects of Vedic culture that Srila Prabhupada's disciples imbibed, they learned it from him. That was actually one of the first things when Srila Prabhupada was in the West, that he wrote back to India saying that the people in the West, after passing, they smear their backsides with paper. It was like shocking to Srila Prabhupada that people are so unclean and low class. So Srila Prabhupada taught various points which generally will be taught by the parents, especially the mother. So the first guru is the mother, not necessarily in spiritual knowledge, but how to live as a human being. Of course, nowadays, the mothers, they don't teach these things. And you'll be lucky if your mother even lets you become a human being without aborting you in the womb. But in the days when there was some culture in this world, then there was no question of abortion. Of course, Vidur recommended that to Dhritarashtra. He said, better kill this Duryodhana before he gets any bigger. So there is one case. But in general, there was no thought of abortion. And the parents took the trouble to teach their children all the basic points, like not putting your hand in your mouth, and except how to eat, and basic points of how to live as a human being. And the guru would teach, those things were done, and then the guru would teach spiritual knowledge. But Srila Prabhupada taught various usages that normally would be taught to children by their parents. So Srila Prabhupada taught on a wide range of subjects, all connected to Krishna. And he taught the rudiments of Vaishnava culture. But various disciples may understand his instructions in various ways. For instance, there is a controversy within ISKCON. There's not a controversy, there are many, but I'm just referring to one. Over whether women devotees should be addressed as mother or as master, as Mataji or Prabhu. So this might seem comical to you. In Russia last year, when I told the devotees that in America most of the devotees called the women Prabhu, then everyone just started laughing. They thought it was a big joke. But there is a statement in Prabhupada's books that all devotees are to be addressed as Prabhu. So women are also devotees. Of course, Srila Prabhupada qualified that by quoting that all women except one's wife is to be addressed as mother. So people don't understand the basic rudiments of logical understanding, that if there's one statement, a general statement, and it's qualified by another, then you have to accept that qualifying statement as an exception. So that's just an example of how various disciples of Srila Prabhupada understand his teachings in various ways. And there are more, what you might say, serious issues, such as, did the jiva fall from the spiritual world or not? And various parties contest this, citing Srila Prabhupada, citing various scriptural sources, and citing what they consider to be their own logic, or their own logical understanding. So we may say, well, just hear from Srila Prabhupada. Some devotees say, well, we should only hear from Srila Prabhupada, don't hear from others. Of course, when they say that, you're also hearing from them. It's the logical fallacy of the preacher saying, don't have any guru, or writing in a book, don't read any books. It's a logical fallacy. If someone tells you you should only hear from Srila Prabhupada, you're already hearing from them and taking advice from them. But the fact is that we do, even if we only listen to Srila Prabhupada's lectures, we all the time, if we're to follow what's in Srila Prabhupada's instructions, then we associate with devotees, and they, by associating with them, we get to hear or imbibe their various understandings. And it can be confusing because jato mat tato pat. People read Prabhupada's books and they throw it in the khichdi pot of their mind and add a few, some salt and spices of various speculations, and they come up with a very good dish. And everyone's got their own flavor. So it can be confusing. Therefore, it's better to have the various points clarified by... Now that can be, you may say, well, who from? Who will clarify? Well, that's a matter of faith. Faith, again, not blind faith, but faith based on hearing. When one sees that there's someone who in practice and precept is following Srila Prabhupada and not trying to interpret according to one's own conditioned understanding. If one has that faith, then one should hear from such a person to clarify all these points. Otherwise it can be confusing, because Srila Prabhupada, even on the same subject, might, in many cases actually, on many subjects, may have said different things in different times and places to different people. Does that mean that he's speaking in a confusing manner? Well, it may be confusing. Is Srila Prabhupada contradicting himself? No, but it might appear like that. It might appear like that. Just like there's the saying, not all shoes fit all sizes. So Srila Prabhupada may have given one instruction to one devotee, just like there were two sannyasis of Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada instructed one that you go traveling and don't remain more than 3 days in any place. He told him that sannyasi should always be traveling. Then he turned to another sannyasi and told him, you stay here in Vrindavan, never leave. So one instruction was suitable for one and the other was suitable for the other. Why did he tell him never to leave Vrindavan? What was the reason? So that he could get very deeply into Raja Bhajan. The reason was because he had a New Zealand passport. That was the reason. He at that time, members of the Commonwealth, formerly called the British Commonwealth, didn't need visas to stay in India. And Srila Prabhupada wanted, that devotee was managing the Krishna Balaram temple, and Srila Prabhupada wanted him to continue to do that. So he told him, don't leave Vrindavan, you stay. And to the other he told him, you keep on traveling. Don't remain in any place more than 3 days. So it might seem confusing, but then even Shastra itself, even in Bhagavad Gita, I mentioned this in one class in Bangalore on Ritvikism. Ritvikvadis, they accuse the GBC of contradicting itself. But even Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, right in two lines, Krishna contradicts himself, it seems. Samoham sarava bhuteshu name dvesho stena priyaha ye bhajanti tumang bhaktya maite teshu chapyaha. Krishna says, I'm neutral. I don't favor anyone or hate anyone. Then the next line he says, but my devotee who worships me, I am inclined to them. So right in the same breath, Krishna apparently contradicts himself. Apparently, we have to understand the Siddhanta. behind all of this? What is Krishna just talking like a madman with no rhyme or reason? Did he said something and then he thought, oh, that's a mistake, I'll correct myself. And Vyasadeva wasn't intelligent enough to leave out the mistake. Is this what's going on? No, but one has to understand the Siddhanta behind all of this. So that is the Shastra Yukti Sunipun Dridha Shraddha Ja Uttamadikari Shai Taraya Shangsha, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. The Uttamadikari. Not Uttaradikari, Uttamadikari. Shastra Yukti Sunipun. So Yukti, that can mean discussion, debate. Shastra Yukti Sunipun, one who is expert, very expert in Shastra Yukti, and who has firm faith, is an Uttamadhikari, topmost devotee. Such a devotee can deliver the whole world. So Yukti, that means in argument or debate. That's one meaning. But it also means putting things together, harmonizing apparently contradictory statements. Who can find their way through the Shabda Jala Maharanyam, the great forest, the network of words of the Vedic literature may seem impossible to understand. But one who understands can help others to understand. So in the same way, Srila Prabhupada's teachings, even though he was quite explicit on various subjects, but it is possible to misunderstand them. It's quite possible to misunderstand anything, actually. Even if someone tells you something which seems to be quite self-evident and clear, it's quite possible to misinterpret that. And that's actually what the Mayavadis do. Just like, for instance, this is a flower garland, all right? No confusion about that. It's clear. Doesn't require deep philosophical thought to understand it. But according to the Mayavadis, it's not a flower garland, because Jagan Mitya, everything is false. There is no flower garland. That's what the Mayavadis say. Everything is false in this world. Only Brahma is satya. So you can misinterpret anything. And there, it's not only the statement made, but sometimes there's the intention. Sometimes someone says something, but their intention is different, and one has to be very discerning to understand what is the intention. Just like Krishna told the gopis when they came to him at night, you'd better all go home. It's not very good that you've come out at night, you all go home. He didn't want them to go home. He called them to come with him, but he told them to go home. They didn't go home. Krishna didn't expect them to go home. But maybe you could fault the gopis. You see, Krishna told them to go home. Actually, Krishna was good, but the gopis corrupted him because they insisted on dancing with him. You could interpret it like that. I mean, God has given the jiva great imaginative faculty. But when one discovers that by exercising my imaginative faculty in life after life, I imagined I would enjoy by eating meat, and I ended up as a tiger. And although it might have seemed to be good fun, actually it's not much fun, because you get all these people hunting you, and then most of the time you're hungry. And anyway, whatever species of life you're in, we have to suffer birth, death, old age and disease. So when one discovers that my imaginative faculties, by which I imagine that I can enjoy this material world, it doesn't really help me. I should stop imagining and try to find out what actually is reality. Then we have to hear from persons who are cognizant of that reality. So we should hear from Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is perfectly self-realized. Actually, even we say self-realized, but it's the term suggests that at some point he had some realization. But it's not like that. It's not that Prabhupada became self-realized. He's pure devotee of Krishna. He's always realizing Krishna, as Srila Prabhupada said himself. There was no time in my life when I was forgetful of Krishna. We should hear from Srila Prabhupada, we should read Srila Prabhupada's books. But it's also important to hear, and I'm telling you as my disciples, you should also hear me, which you're doing at the moment, I hope. Because hearing doesn't just mean sitting in proximity to and not falling asleep. Hearing means opening the ears, opening the heart, accepting it. So you should also hear from me. Otherwise, you might hear so many strange things. It's really quite amazing how Srila Prabhupada gave everything very clearly and straightforwardly, and how many very strange ideas have been concocted out of Srila Prabhupada's very clear and straightforward instructions. And watch out, there's more coming, that's for sure. See what the mess they made of Jesus Christ's teachings. They converted him into a meat eater and a drunkard, so that they could all be meat eaters and drunkards. So, you see, in the Ramanuja Acharya Sampradaya, it took them 800 years to come down to the level of worshipping Sai Baba. And, how long will it take in ISKCON? Already there's one temple president who is reported as having said that. Well, I don't think we should criticize Sai Baba. He's doing good for the people. Really? Well, that's not what I heard from Srila Prabhupada. So, we should hear from those who believe what Srila Prabhupada says. If we want to be benefited. If we don't want to be benefited, then you can do whatever you damn well like. And do it in the name of Srila Prabhupada. That's worse. Better, just like Srila Prabhupada said about Bhagavad Gita, that it would be more honorable for these rascals just to write their own stupid book rather than making a commentary on Bhagavad Gita and making it seem as if Krishna is stupid by saying all kinds of nonsense things. Okay, you're a fool and a rascal, then you write your own stupid book. But why ascribe that to Krishna? So, in the same way, if we want to be followers of Srila Prabhupada, we should follow him. And if we want to be mudhas, then what business have we got with Srila Prabhupada? So, as I was saying, I have various disciples, and real disciple is one who can hear all these things. Someone who just wants to hear what they like, they cannot really be a disciple. I would like to hear about this leela and that leela. It's good if you like to hear about that. The desire to hear about Krishna's leela is very good. But we should be prepared to hear what Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita. That comes first, before we listen to Krishna's leelas. And how should we hear that? Sarvam etadritam manye yanmam vadasi keshava. As Arjuna heard it, accepting it all. I'm told that in some ISKCON centers that they have the daily Bhagavatam class, and when they come to some verse or some purport which they think is too heavy or unsuitable, they just skip over it. That's one form of editing. Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said this, but we're not going to say it because we don't think it's suitable. So, in this way, people get the impression that some of the things Srila Prabhupada said are better than others, or some things he said, they're not suitable for the public, even though we're distributing these books to the public. It's very dangerous and offensive way to reinterpret Srila Prabhupada. So, at least, I'm not going to do that. At least, up till now, I remember why I came to Srila Prabhupada. Understanding Tasmat gurum prapadyeta jignyasu shreya uttamam. Tasmat, one should approach a guru surrender to him and inquire about one's ultimate benefit. Tasmat means therefore, and this verse appears in the context of someone who's seen that this whole material world, even in the heavenly planets, is simply a place of suffering. It's not our natural place. We don't belong here. Having understood that, one should approach a guru. If one approaches to solve one's health problems or economic problems, that's also pious. That's called sukriti in Bhagavad Gita. But one can actually derive benefit when one from hearing from a guru, when one understands that there is no benefit to be had within this material world. So we should not try to convert the sadhu into a blessing machine for fulfilling our material desires. Or as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, we should not approach Bhagawan asking him to supply fuel for the blazing fire, to throw into the blazing fire of our material desires. Not for that, but rather Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam, to extinguish that fire, the fire of material life. So, I consider myself fortunate, and actually I am fortunate in that. I have faith in that what Srila Prabhupada says is correct. Even if some of the things he has stated may be difficult to understand. Just the other day I was looking at the rising moon and considering that according to modern scientists it's 225,000 miles away, is that the right figure? Something like that. It doesn't look that far away, but then according to Shastra, 95 million miles away, which is a lot further. So either way, it's difficult to understand. But anyway, we accept Shastra. And the moon, and it's just one subject. There may be various subjects which are difficult to understand. But we should have faith that Srila Prabhupada spoke according to Shastra. As Srila Prabhupada himself said, when his personal servant Purushottam lost faith in Srila Prabhupada, because while the first manned moonshot was being broadcast on TV, Prabhupada was watching and saying it's all a hoax. And Purushottam didn't believe that. He thought, Prabhupada is a hoax. So then he left Prabhupada's service. And Srila Prabhupada later commented that I could understand that he might not believe me, but why should he disbelieve Shastra? That's a very telling statement. Srila Prabhupada didn't ask anyone to believe him per se. Believe me because I'm saying it. No, Prabhupada, he never said that. It's a very important understanding. Srila Prabhupada said he should believe me because I'm speaking according to Shastra. Very important statement. Therefore, I took exception with one of my godbrothers who wrote a book full of various unascertainable or statements, and stated that he's getting this knowledge, as he called it, or these speculations, from a previous life and from contact with a platform of cosmic consciousness. Then anyone can say anything. He's saying, I know, and you just believe me. That's all. But Prabhupada never said that. He didn't say, I'm a pure devotee of Krishna, therefore, just believe what I say. He said that we have to follow what is in Shastra, as received through Parampara. A disciple should present the knowledge he has received from Shastra through his guru. That is the perfect disciple. Srila Prabhupada always said, that's what it means to be a guru. You hear from your guru and you repeat it. It's a very simple thing. But somehow or other it seems to become very difficult for so many. And therefore we have so many opinions. And some may say, well, all right, you sound very, to myself, they may say, well, you sound very sure of yourself. But we should be sure of ourselves. If we have, heard from Srila Prabhupada, then we should be sure. If we're not sure, then we shouldn't be teaching. Someone else may, you may say, well, someone else may be sure, but they may say something else. All right, then you decide. That's up to you. You decide where you want to hear and put your faith. Up to you. If you find that by hearing what I have to say, your understanding of and commitment to and advancement in Krishna consciousness increases, then hear from me. If you don't, then that's up to you. You have to make your own decision. As I was saying yesterday, some disciples, they maybe become initiated by me without really thinking about it very much, or they just happen to be local, zonal. Well, if you find that you prefer to hear from other god brothers of mine, or you're attracted to their Vaishnava qualities, then you're welcome to do so. I don't claim that you're my property. We're all followers of Srila Prabhupada, hopefully. So take inspiration wherever you can get it. Take guidance that will guide you to Krishna wherever you can get it. So, yeah, I am. It's true that I am. I'm talking about myself here because you're here, mostly all my disciples. So, to understand how I perceive my role, you're here today to glorify me as your guru. So yesterday I was speaking about that, and today I'm continuing that, and speaking now maybe somewhat personally instead of just principles. Because, as I was saying, guru is one, so that's true, but also each one guru is a person. And various persons relate to various other persons in different ways. So, I'm trying to explain to you my perception of how I see my role in my service to Srila Prabhupada in accepting disciples. One is supposed to surrender to a guru, but it's understood that it is a process also. Srila Prabhupada describes Sharanagati as the process of surrender. So, although we're talking about the principle of full surrender, making one's heart one with the guru, at the same time it's understood that for most people it doesn't fully take place on the spot or overnight. a high level of commitment is required to accept initiation and become a disciple. But at the same time, it's understood that simply by accepting initiation, one is committed to follow the Guru, but reservations may be there, misgivings, Srila Prabhupada often used that term, misgiving, which means doubts, that may be there. Ideally, there should be a good level of trust between the Guru and the disciples. Srila Prabhupada had a lot of faith in his own disciples. He would send them off. You go to Japan, you go to Australia. They, with hardly any training or background, go. They hardly knew anything about Krishna consciousness. Nowadays, the devotees who are sent out to different parts of the world and to different places to start new centers, nowadays, those devotees would be considered complete neophytes because they hardly knew anything. But Prabhupada sent them out. Go, do it. No one would dream of sending out such neophytes. But Prabhupada empowered them. He had faith. You go and do what I tell you. You go chant in the streets. Hold Sunday programs. Hold your regular morning programs. And Krishna consciousness movement will spread. And it did. As one professor, I think that was Thomas Hopkins, he was one of the few people in America at the time when Prabhupada went there who had any idea about Vaishnavism. He studied it in the university. And he happened to meet some of Srila Prabhupada's early followers before he met Srila Prabhupada. This is 1966. And he was astonished that these people had such deep faith in Krishna consciousness, but they knew so little about it because he himself knew much more. And he couldn't put it together. How have they got such faith, but they don't really know what they're talking about? He said he couldn't understand it until he met Srila Prabhupada, who had full knowledge and full faith and inspired such faith that on his order, go to Japan. San Francisco? What was that, Japan? Oh yeah, I remember, made in Japan. Okay. Actually, in those days, Japan wasn't even much known as a country. Okay, there was a time when Japan, made in Japan, meant it was rubbish. There was a time. So Srila Prabhupada sent out devotees, and with faith in his order, they went through all kinds of difficulties, getting arrested by the police, so many things. But Prabhupada had faith in his followers. He had faith that they could carry forward the movement after his departure from this world. Although some will contest it, he had faith that his disciples could themselves accept disciples and be gurus if they simply followed what Srila Prabhupada said. Practically, Prabhupada made his disciples gurus in the very first days by sending them to countries where no one knew anything about Krishna. So they became, in one sense, the gurus for the whole country or the whole area where he sent them to. So Srila Prabhupada had a lot of faith in his disciples. Of course, some were particularly close, as the number of Srila Prabhupada's disciples increased. Obviously, he couldn't train them as he did his first disciples in a very intimate manner. But he trained a few men very closely and he expected them to train others. So there were some disciples who no doubt were very close to Srila Prabhupada. And sometimes it's quoted, you see, this devotees. Srila Prabhupada called him so many bad names, rascal, fool, this, that, and the other. And some people quote that to say, you see, Prabhupada called him a rascal and a fool. He must be. You see, you have to accept what Prabhupada said. Well, here there's a case for interpretation. The proper interpretation, or proper understanding, according to Vaishnava principles, is that Srila Prabhupada had such trust in that devotee that he could call him a rascal and a fool, and he wouldn't get upset and run away. And there's also the case of instructing the daughter-in-law by instructing the daughter. That the daughter-in-law doesn't have a very... She's new to the mother-in-law. She has to be trained according to the local house rules. So the mother-in-law rebukes her own daughter for the mistake that the daughter-in-law is making. Actually, that she's telling the daughter, her own daughter, you fool, why do it properly. But actually that instruction is meant for the daughter-in-law. But it's given indirectly. So there's another example of how Srila Prabhupada's teachings are to be understood, or his teaching method is to be understood. It may not be always direct. So in the same way, Srila Prabhupada, maybe he couldn't say everything directly to certain disciples because they didn't have that much faith in him. Prabhupada could perceive that. So, as not to put at risk their tender faith, Srila Prabhupada might deal with certain disciples in a manner that he wouldn't deal with disciples who he had greater faith in, who had taken the tests in the past. So that may be with me also, that I shouldn't say everything to everyone. It may, certain things, if I say, it may disturb certain disciples' minds. But those who I have this much faith, you could say, in myself, but actually, again, it's who am I? I am a servant of Srila Prabhupada and the Parampara. So I have this much faith that if I repeat what I've heard, what I've understood, then others will be benefited. And practically, we can see that. Because I try to emphasize the things that Srila Prabhupada himself emphasized. To study Srila Prabhupada's books, to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, to maintain a good standard of sadhacha, means rising early, chanting, all these. So I'm confident and practically I'm seeing that if, and I can say that to you, that if you follow what I say, you will be benefited. That you have to decide yourself. You already decided, I guess, by becoming my disciples. So, we all have various preconceptions, prejudices, but if we put them aside and are prepared to submit ourselves as a blank slate, then we can benefit, certainly. I was saying how Srila Prabhupada, he had many disciples, he didn't personally interact with them, with all of them. When I joined ISKCON, there was no question of just walking up to Srila Prabhupada. First time I physically saw Srila Prabhupada, he came for one day in a year to England. It was about 24 hours period, and then the first, he arrived around midday, and the rest of the day, we missed him at the airport due to some mix-up. And then he went to his room and stayed there. He didn't come out. He just spoke to some senior disciples. So the whole half day he was there, we didn't see him. Then he came down in the morning for deity darshan, accepted Guru Puja, gave class, very philosophical class, and then he left. And so he came from Paris and went to Bombay. So we were told not to write letters to Srila Prabhupada because how can he answer so many letters? Srila Prabhupada, he used to, in the early days, he would write long letters to his disciples, but later he said, later he told the devotee, you ask, first of all, you read my books, and then you ask these senior devotees who are already trained in all these things. They all know these things. So, Srila Prabhupada expected his disciples to follow his example. He said that he wanted all of his disciples to have 10,000 disciples each. I don't have anywhere near that amount. I'm not really in a great hurry to... I guess I should do, because that's Prabhupada's instruction, but I'm not really jumping after getting more disciples. But it's inevitable that as the number of disciples increases, that the personal interaction, especially with the newer ones who are coming, may not be so much. Therefore, devotees are arranging these yatra, we call it, so that there'll be the opportunity for devotees to associate together, to hear. Again, we want to do the next ones in the summer. That will, maybe not in a holy place. I'm thinking in South India I'll speak in English. In some place, Gokul Chandra Prabhu is supposed to, he's thinking of arranging it in a hill station, because after all, it's pretty hot in India in the summer. So the idea is just 7 days, we'll have Shravanam Kirtanam, that's all. And then I'm thinking in June, I already spoke to devotees in Surat. We'll do the same thing in Hindi. So I'm waiting for a reply to fix the date in Surat, and then we can fix the date in South India. So sometimes we can go to holy places, but we can go to unholy places, and by your kirtan you can make it holy. So trying to give some opportunity, yeah, whenever I go like this or like this, and the photographer goes like this. It's all right, that's your job. I can do a few acts if you want. It's all right, it's okay, he can do. That's his job, that's his seva. But I don't start acting. So yeah, there's arranging this yatras, and then again, by the grace of modern technology, we have lectures are recorded on DVDs. Madhav Prabhu is going to give you all a gift of DVD with lectures. I think most of them are not released before, is it? New, with 400 lectures. Is it? First silver-coated 9GB DVD in ISKCON. With 400 lectures. 400 lectures. That's in English. And then there's another one in Tamil, that means English with Tamil translation. 150. That's also new. So many thanks to Madhav Prabhu for this. And also the lectures are out on the internet. You uploaded how many on the internet? 1,000 lectures. So if you have an internet connection better than most people in India have, means if you're living in a metropolitan city, you can download them. Most places I go to, the connection's not that good. But last year, it was put up when last year? In the middle of last year.
Yeah.
Which month?
Yes, ma'am.
You started, yeah. So in...
Yes,
ma'am. Okay. So in 1 year, there have been how many downloads of lectures? 55,000.
120 countries.
Huh? In 120 countries. ISKCON Desire Tree, from there there's 50,000. And from bvks.com, 52,000. So there's over 100,000 downloads. So, yeah. You can sit anywhere in the world if you have an internet connection and preach. Yeah. One devotee in his... Just recently, I'm told, one devotee in Pakistan downloaded them all. So, no need to go anywhere. You can just sit in a plastic. What's that? Some little. Sit in a plastic container somewhere. And preach. Anyway, it's nice to travel also. But I also have to sit and write books. So, what to do? Travel and preach or write books? Do both. That's another thing that this year, after many years, this book on Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur came out. And it's getting... quite, actually amazing response that one of my godbrothers, Burijan Prabhu, who lives most of the time in Vrindavan, and he's on Srila Prabhupada's order, is engaged in writing and education, teaching people Prabhupada's books. So he moves among very senior devotees and very intellectual devotees. And he wrote to me that I didn't start reading the book yet, but several devotees have told me that it has completely altered their perspective on Krishna consciousness. And you think what kind of devotees he's moving in. So that's quite an amazing statement. Several devotees have written that they consider that my magnum opus, which means like the greatest work of your life, because I've written several books. But actually I consider that a beginning. I have lots of important books to write. And Yeah, it's a beginning. There are many, many important books to write to further bolster the knowledge that Srila Prabhupada has given us. So you please all pray to Krishna that I can have long life, clear intelligence, and good health, sufficient health to write more books. That's my request to you today. If you want to give dakshina, many of you are giving dakshina. Srimad Bhagavatam states, dakshina jnana sandeshaha. Dakshina means that what we've received, we have to give something in return as a token of appreciation. So the best dakshina is to distribute the knowledge that we have received. So I'm trying to do that, to write books following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada. Again, some foolish people say that no one should write books. You should only read Prabhupada's books. And there's only one other called TFO. Don't read any books except Prabhupada's, and this book, The Final Order. You can't understand Prabhupada without reading that, according to some people. But I read in Srila Prabhupada's books that the duty of a sannyasi, the foremost duty of a sannyasi, is to make a literary contribution for the uplift of mankind. And Srila Prabhupada said that he wanted his disciples to, his sannyasi, to sannyasi disciples to open more centers than he, distribute more, write more books than him, and in it, accept more disciples than him. So certainly Srila Prabhupada wanted his disciples to write books. So I'm doing that, trying to follow closely Srila Prabhupada. And devotees sometimes say that I'm closely following Srila Prabhupada. I'm not sure if I came in, I am to come in Srila Prabhupada's presence, but Srila Prabhupada would often chastise his disciples also. So I'm not sure how Srila Prabhupada would receive me. We can't guarantee that Srila Prabhupada will be pleased. We shouldn't take that for granted. Srila Prabhupada will actually be pleased, as himself was asked, what pleases you the most? And Srila Prabhupada said, if you love Krishna. So, am I pleasing Srila Prabhupada? I cannot say that I'm pleasing Srila Prabhupada in the best way that I could. Still have a long way to go. So, as I was saying yesterday, that the gap between myself and my disciples is not anything near the gap between Srila Prabhupada and his disciples, or between Srila Prabhupada and myself. And there may not even be a gap, or the gap might be the other way, that I'm behind my disciples who are doing more service than me. So it may be a dangerous prayer to make, but I should make it, that Srila Prabhupada may expose, or not expose, you may not mean, but purify my various misconceptions, foolishness, egoism, and everything else that prevents me from being what he wants me actually to be, which is a pure devotee of Krishna. So this is my prayer. You may all help me in that. I also pray that in discharging this service to Srila Prabhupada of accepting disciples on his behalf, that I don't get caught up in some kind of hype. Do you know what the word hype means? It's short for hyperbole, which means just inflated, artificially inflated praise and just some kind of euphoria that the guru, and everyone goes, I'm not much interested in it. I guess that's inevitable to some extent. But I don't, maybe it can be used in Krishna's service also. But I'm, my own personal preference, maybe I shouldn't even desire my own personal preference, but I'm not much desirous of being a fashionable icon who's top of the guru league these days. Who's a big guru? Who's a small guru? Who's a medium guru? Not much interested. If anyone can help me in my service, or if I can help anyone in their service, I should be happy with that. We should all be happy with that. It's certainly Srila Prabhupada, wherever he went, there was tremendous euphoria around him. Devotees were just in the airports, especially, they'd forget everything and they'd just jump up on the steps and be crying and shouting and banging their drums, and there's all these people, businessmen walking. What's going on? It's just, devotees were just, they were so ecstatic upon seeing Srila Prabhupada, they just actually forget everything all around them and proper behavior. They were so ecstatic. Srila Prabhupada came from the spiritual world and he brought the spiritual world with him. So that's nice. And Krishna consciousness does mean bliss, actually. And that we can experience. These kirtans, these enthusiastic kirtans, they are blissful. So we're not saying that smiling is banned. But nothing artificial. That's the point. We don't want this, my guru's the best. He smiles at me. Oh! We're not interested in that. Some gurus in or around ISKCON are, or some devotees, they say you have to have a super maha maha bhagavat radha premi. That's a guru. Unless the guru is crying most of the time and talking about prem leela in between, not a guru. Those who say like this, it may be that in doing so they are undermining or indirectly criticizing Srila Prabhupada, inasmuch as Srila Prabhupada himself wasn't like that. Srila Prabhupada, he mostly preached from Bhagavad Gita. Mostly. Not that Bhagavad Gita is devoid of Vraja Prem, but it's a philosophical presentation. Srila Prabhupada was always presenting the philosophy of Krishna consciousness for our understanding. And also, those who say that to be a guru you have to be a super Mahabhagavat 1008, definitely a gopi, can't be anything less than a gopi, couldn't be just one of those useless cowherd boys, have to be a gopi. So anyone who says like that, indirectly they are minimizing the extraordinary mercy of Srila Prabhupada to act through his disciples to convey the message and the spirit of Bhagavad Gita in the same way that Srila Prabhupada himself did. Just like Srila Prabhupada, as I was saying, he sent disciples to far-off countries, and they, in many cases, they had the same effect in their preaching that Srila Prabhupada did. Even though in many ways they were neophyte devotees, their knowledge of Krishna consciousness was very little, and their advancement in Krishna consciousness was very little, apart from their extraordinary faith in Srila Prabhupada for the experience of Krishna consciousness that he'd given them. And that faith in Srila Prabhupada, because of that faith that if they do what Srila Prabhupada says, namely to repeat what he says and to live according to that, then other people can get the same message of Krishna consciousness. And that's how the parampara works. That's why Srila Prabhupada was effective in spreading Krishna consciousness, whereas others were not effective. There are so many preachers of Hinduism or Bhagavad Gita, they were not able to give the message of Krishna consciousness because they didn't have the message of Krishna consciousness. They didn't believe in Bhagavad Gita as it is. Srila Prabhupada did, and he believed in his disciples that if they simply repeat what he says, that will have the same effect as Srila Prabhupada personally being present there. We speak on Bhagavad Gita, and we speak with the faith that if we have the same faith that Arjuna had, that we can reap the same result that Arjuna did by directly hearing from Krishna. So, if we hear from Srila Prabhupada's disciples and they don't mess it all up and put in their own personal interpretation, then we'll get the same result as hearing from Srila Prabhupada. And those that say, no, you should only hear from those who are super maha bhagavat maha premi, then they don't understand the principle of parampara, and they're undermining the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, and they're also introducing a non-parampara element in as much as they're introducing, instead of the scientific understanding of Krishna consciousness, Shabde Pare Cha Nishnatam Ramanyu Pashama Shrayam. These are the two symptoms of a guru given in Shastra, that he should be fully immersed in the teachings of Shastra and should have taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the Parampara system. So these two broad categories, they are ascertainable. One can judge if a devotee's absorbed the message of Shastra and is living according to that. But if whether or not one is a Maha Bhagavat Super Premi, that's how can you tell? There's so many Sahajiyas. Generally the Prakriti Sahajiyas say that or make a show of that. Srila Prabhupada didn't make any such show. He naturally executed the function of a perfect disciple.